So, what is the law of attraction?
The law of attraction is the belief and the principle that you're attracting into your life, getting into your life, everything based on your thoughts.
And how do you know it works?
How do I know it works? Well, you're already getting it on an unconscious level. When you look around, everything that's in your life has been brought to you because of your thoughts. If you break it down and retrace the actions that you took to create the reality you have in this moment, you can also trace it back to see that you had thoughts before those actions, before those results. What you have now is what you attracted.
So you're saying I can get whatever I want just by thinking about it?
In general, there are some limitations. If you are dealing with the law of attraction, but it doesn't trump all the other laws of the universe. So there are other laws, like there are limitations about physical abilities and so forth, but you can go for more than what you ever thought possible when you start to dream bigger and use the law of attraction on your side.
So what if I want a thing, a diamond necklace for my wife? I can get that by thinking about it?
Not just thinking about it. That's one of the biggest misconceptions of all time. You have to take action. I'm the guy in the movie who says it. You have to take action to make any of this work for you. It's just not thinking. It's thinking coupled with action.
Okay, so isn't that a statement of the glaringly obvious? If you want something, you need to think you want it, you need to feel you want it, and you need to take action. None of that is why is that a secret?
It's no longer a secret. That's why it's been out for a long time.
But even before that, it shouldn't have been a secret. If you want anything, you have to think you want it and take action, right?
There are books describing exactly what you're talking about that go back hundreds of years. I have them in my library from the 1800s, early 1900s. They're all talking about thinking and taking action. What's different is that we had a movie that's on a DVD that people didn't have to read. They just slide it into their TV, and suddenly they hear this, which comes across as news to most people. But it's been around for centuries.
Do you think it's news to most people that if you want something, you have to want it and then try to get it?
You know, when you put it that way, it sounds silly and actually, you know, pretty brainless. But it is news to a lot of people. Otherwise, why aren't they attracting all the things that they want? Why aren't they going for it? They are making some preliminary mistakes. They are just thinking, for example, I just have to sit, I just have to visualize, I just have to meditate, and it's going to show up at my doorstep. My phone's going to ring. It generally doesn't happen like that, and they're not doing the second step, which is taking action on the ideas that may occur to them or somebody gives them that would actually make it come about.
The converse of your logic, the inverse of your logic, the inverse of the law of attraction seems to, the criticism is, blame the victim. Because if you aren't getting what you want, it must be your fault. So if you've got cancer, it's your fault.
Yeah, that's the big trouble thing with the law of attraction and people's basic understanding of it. This is not a blame game. This is not about saying you did something wrong. I'm actually in the business of awakening people, awakening myself and everybody else to how we're thinking. Our unconscious thoughts, not our conscious thoughts, our unconscious thoughts is what's creating our reality. And many of our unconscious thoughts are not very positive. They are negative, they are self-defeating, they are putting ourselves down. They actually attract problems.
So if I get cancer, is that a result of my unconscious thinking that I need to fix?
If you get cancer, there's enough medical documents that show that you had a role in bringing it about in your life. It wasn't totally your responsibility, and it's absolutely not your fault. But your thinking plays a role in this. The evidence is there about stress levels, about being victim to certain things that show up in your life. But this isn't a cause for blame. This is a trigger to do something about the condition.
Well, what if I'm a kid in a refugee camp, or if I'm the victim of rape, or if I'm a tsunami victim? Are any of those things my fault?
No, none of those are your fault. But they are your responsibility. There's a big difference here. When you say it's your fault, you beat yourself up, you feel guilty, you feel miserable, that life isn't worth living at that point. But when you know that it's your responsibility, meaning somehow or other this got into your life, you now have to do something about it. You have to heal, you have to let go, you have to move on, you have to do whatever it takes to repair yourself. That's responsibility, not blame.
Right, but you are still saying that it could be part of your unconscious thinking that had put you into this situation. It seems a little, let's just say, it strains credulity a bit to think that everybody who got hit by the earthquake in Haiti, all of those people had some unconscious thinking going on that led to them being victimized, right?
Well, none of these people are being victimized. In other words, again,
In an earthquake, you're victimized, aren't you?
In an earthquake, you're victimized. In an earthquake, you're experiencing something that I have no idea why it came into being. In other words, I don't know if it has to do with group thinking. I don't know if it has to do with the plates of the Earth shifting? I don't really know. But what I'm saying is when that happens, instead of feeling like a victim, you have to take responsibility for what's going on. You and I have to take responsibility for what's going on over there, and those people do as well.
But if it's a law, it can't be selectively applied. It can't only work when you want something positive and affirmative. It has to work in the inverse too, right?
It does work in the inverse. But it can be trumped by other laws, laws of physics, laws of gravity, for example, the laws of the Earth moving, and suddenly there's an earthquake going on. So the law of attraction can be trumped. And yes, the law of attraction, depending on what's going on in your unconscious mind, can bring into your life what you perceive to be positive and what you perceive to be is negative.
Isn't there any value to negative thinking? Isn't pessimism a good thing? If you're a Jew trying to escape the Nazis, if you are somebody who's dealing with a predatory lender, wouldn't it be good to think pessimistically?
I actually think that there's a lot of value in thinking pessimistically. When you're about to take some action, you should be looking at what might go wrong as well as what might go right. There should be some balance in the thinking.
But then aren't you going to attract all that what could go wrong stuff?
No, because at that point you have a choice. If you're thinking about what could go wrong and you have the remedy for anything that could come into your life in the back of your mind, like a backup plan, then you're set for it. And if you're thinking about what could go right and you're focusing on it, you're tending to bring that into your reality. This is a basic rule of psychology. Forget the law of attraction if you want. Just go to William James in psychology, who said you get more of whatever you focus on. Focus on the bad things, you tend to bring more of those in. You focus on the good things, you tend to note those and bring more of those in.
So you do think there's some value to evaluating things in their full spectrum?
Absolutely, yes. You must evaluate everything that's going on. I had my own cancer scare 2 years ago, and I didn't just sit down and meditate. I went to all the cancer specialists. I went to all of the network that I had, started asking people, what would you do? I went to the anti-aging people. I went to the alternative medicine people. And I went to the cancer specialist because I got all of the information so I could make an objective decision about what I needed to do for me.
But in The Secret, there's a whole scene with a woman who was spontaneously cured of cancer. A lot of doctors said, whoa, this is going to encourage people not to go to medical professionals when they get sick, to think that they can heal themselves through positive thinking. Where are you on that?
Well, I think they can be inspired that there's a possibility of a miracle, that something could take place, but they also need to keep in the back of their mind not to sit and wait for it. I didn't sit and wait. I got up and I made the calls, I drove over, made the visits, I did what was being asked of me to get all the information. So I think it's inspiring to hear those stories, but don't stop and do nothing because of those stories.
It strikes me, and having interviewed several, off the top of my head, three of the teachers who are in The Secret, that there's a certain amount of walking away from it just gingerly after the fact. Perhaps there was too much emphasis on just thinking it will come true. Mm-hmm. The universe is a slot machine. Do you agree with my analysis?
Well, I don't know what the other folks are doing, but I'll tell you what I, as a teacher in the movie The Secret, have done. I was the very first person to promote that movie when Rhonda Byrne said it was ready for release. I was the very first person. I was very excited about the movie. And I was one of the very first people to criticize the movie. Because as I started to watch it and I started to get the feedback, I saw that the movie was leading people to believe that it was a genie-like universe where you just sat there and you just made your wish and it all came true. Now, I do have a moment in there when I say that you have to take action, but people that watch it seem to gloss over that, and I realize that they didn't spend enough time on that aspect of it. So I think the movie is a great introduction to the law of attraction, but it's missing a lot of depth. There needs to be a volume 2, if not a 3 and 4 after that, and there's never been one that I'm aware of.
Is there one in the works, you think?
A couple years ago, Rhonda told me there was one in the works, but that was 2 years ago. I've seen or heard nothing from it.
So let me ask you a little bit about your background. Your full title is Dr. Joe Vitale, right?
That's right.
What's the doctor for?
I have two doctorates, one in marketing and one in metaphysical science.
Metaphysical science. Where did you get that degree?
That one is from Sedona University. They are from Los Angeles. They've been around since the 1950s.
And what does that mean, metaphysical science? What is the thrust of that?
It is basically the study of what is within matter. So in other words, the scientists are looking at the physical. They're looking at matter. I'm looking at consciousness. I'm looking at thoughts. I'm looking at the things that create matter and sometimes move matter. So I'm looking at the metaphysical. It's within the physical.
So some of that is going to be complicated, not only to me, but some in the audience.
And to me. I'm still learning.
So how can you put that, what does that mean in a rubber hits the road, daily
would say at the top of my head, it's the idea that your thoughts create your reality. That everything that we're seeing, everything that we're feeling, everything that we're driving right now began as a thought. That's in the realm of the metaphysical. You can't show me a thought. You can show me a sentence, which is somebody's thought that they wrote down. You can show me a product, which is somebody's thought that they created, they manifested, they used a product or service and molded it into physical being. But you can't show me a thought. The thought is in the invisible realm, and the thoughts are what we're studying.
But are you saying somehow I can harness my thoughts to change things in the physical realm?
Absolutely. When you harness your thoughts to change things in the physical realm, you got to remember that thoughts lead to action. If you have the right thoughts, those thoughts are going to say, get up and make a phone call. Or get up and go see this supplier, or this manufacturer, or this car dealer, or whatever it happens to be. The thought is there first.
Right, but you don't need a degree in metaphysics to know that if you think something and then do it, you are changing the world by your thoughts, right?
You'd be surprised. I would say that most people don't know this. That most people are actually believing that things are just going to work out because that's the nature of life. That because they somehow are entitled to it. They're just going to sit there and it's going to fall in their lap. And some things, like the movie The Secret, can mislead them without too much further thought to believe that.
Can I make physical objects move by the power of my thoughts? I mean, is that where metaphysics goes?
It can go there. There are people studying that. That's not me. That's entertainment. You know, it's not really what I want to do. I don't want to actually move a book or a pencil or something with my thoughts. But there are people who are studying that, including the CIA, our own government. There have been movies about it, books about it, but that's not my particular focus.
There's a lot of talk in the self-help or human potential movement about quantum physics and its relationship to us. I never understood it. Can you give me sort of the 101 basics on it?
You're assuming I understand it.
Well, you're a metaphysician.
Yeah, I'm not a quantum physicist.
Well, I thought that was the same
thing. No, they're not the same thing at all. No, Fred Allen Wolfe, who is a quantum physicist, who said, if you understand quantum physics, then you don't understand quantum physics. He said it is too overwhelming for even him, whose degree has been doing that for decades. I don't know the tip of the iceberg with that.
On a very basic level, what people in your field talk about quantum physics and its relationship to our getting what we want, what is the connection? How does that work? What do you believe?
Well, what I believe about that is what they're teaching is that your consciousness is moving the matter that is within that item that you want. So in other words, your own consciousness, your thought process, is actually moving the energy that is creating that product, that service, that item, whatever it is that you're looking for. And by that connection that you can actually influence it. But I don't teach that, and I don't do that, so I can't speak more than that.
Okay, so you don't tell people to sort of get in the same vibration with something else, and then you can get it, or whatever?
No, because I'm the big entrepreneurial minds guy that says you have to get off your butt and go do something to get something.
Right. Let me just look at my list of questions. You also are a hypnotist? You're not working some magic on me right now, are you?
I'll let you know when you wake up. If you find yourself without your wallet or car keys, don't wonder what happened.
Tell me about the hypnotism. Is that in any way part of your work? I know your company is called Hypnotic.
Yeah, Hypnotic Marketing. The company is called Hypnotic Marketing, Inc., because I thought it sounded like an interesting, esoteric kind of name. It would make people stop and ask me what it is. And they do, just like you just did.
Right.
And I don't really do the marketing anymore. Now I'm an author. I'm a self-help instructor. I do seminars. I'm mostly online teaching people how to go for their dreams and achieve them. So the hypnotism, I was interested in hypnosis when I was 16 years old. And I have degrees in hypnosis. I am a certified hypnotherapist. I don't do any of that, but I know, because of hypnosis, the power of the mind. And yes, we're all in a trance of one sort or another.
You have a book. Your latest book is called Attract Money Now.
That's right.
So you're saying you can help people get rich in 7 steps.
I don't say that. I say that they can attract money in 7 steps. I didn't say they can get rich. So the title is Attract Money Now, not Attract Millionaire Status Now. And Attract Money Now is a 7-step formula that I've developed over the last 30-some years. I was homeless at one point. Now I'm doing pretty well. And I think these 7 steps will help anybody who applies them to attract money. And I'm giving away the book as my way of helping people, because the unemployment's at 10% and people are worried about their foreclosures, their homes, and so forth. This is to help them.
So if you had to boil it down, what can I do to attract more money?
Well, the number one thing you can do is change your thinking about money itself. Most people think money is bad. So unconsciously they're saying, I want money, but money is bad. So they have a tug-of-war going on inside of their own mind. They're wanting to bring it into their life, and they're wanting to get rid of it at the same time. As long as that war is going on, they're going to self-sabotage themselves and not allow money to be in their world, even though it might be available. But the other big thing, and again, there's seven steps, but the other big thing is to think like an entrepreneur. This is the thing that changed my life, because too many people out there are trying to find a job, and they think their salvation is in the next business that hires them. Instead, if they thought with a more creative mindset and thought, where are the problems in the world? What do I complain about in the world? And how can I turn that problem or complaint into a product or service? They can actually create freedom for themselves and jobs for other people.
I'm not telling you something you don't know, but you have some critics. Let me just describe a couple of things that have been said about you. Your work has been called head-smackingly ridiculous and claptrap. When you hear that, what is your defense?
Depending where a person is at when they say statements like that, it probably makes total sense to them, and to me it's the most bizarre thing in the world. Because what I'm teaching people is how to go from where they're at to where their dreams are. If I can go from homeless to being an author of 50-some books and in numerous movies and being honored by an interview with you, then the people at home that are trying to do something in their lives as well, that's possible for them. And that's all I'm really teaching.
But these complaints can't be new to you, right?
Yes, they are new to me. I've never heard either one of those complaints before.
I
don't want to know about the complaints. What I want to hear about are the people who are reading the material, taking action, and getting results. Those are the people that I'm doing my work for, and those are the people that are actually making a difference.
But you've got a whole variety of products and services that a lot of people, I think, would say, would raise the eyebrows, suffice to say, that the Mastermind Tour, that I believe you have something like a secret Russian wishmaker or something doll that I've seen on the website. You've got attract things into your life web group. So I think there are people who are going to say, what is this guy doing?
What this guy's doing is trying to help people have a happier life.
Are you trying to make money for yourself in the process too, right?
In some cases, yes. But like attract money now, I give it for free.
Right. But some of the things, I mean, I would imagine you give it away for free and then you hope that people come back and pay for things, right?
Oh, sure. Ideally, it would be nice if they made money and then came back and said, oh, let's thank Joe by buying something for him or with him or that he wrote. But that's not what it's about, and that's not necessary. It's still free.
Back to the last year, one of the things you did that I thought was fascinating, and I hadn't known this, is you got on GMA in 2006 with this lottery thing.
GMA.
Good Morning America.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
That was a publicity stunt. I had hired a famous author and hoaxer to help me promote a book that I believe would make a difference in people's lives, The Attractor Factor. The Attractor Factor had already been a bestseller on Amazon. I had already gone through numerous printings, and I was hearing from people who said this book awakened them, changed their lives, they were attracting things, they were being fulfilled. And I thought, if that's the case, I need more people to know about the book. And I hired this publicist who pulled this stunt where he pretended to win the largest lottery at that time in history, which I believe was $365 million. And when he and the other winners were interviewed, and they were asked, how did you pick the numbers? He said, well, I was just reading this book by Joe Vitale, The Attractor Factor, and I just flipped through and picked page numbers. So that's how they tied it in.
Right.
And as a result, it got a lot of publicity.
So you like put on a show a little bit.
I do, yes. Yeah. I want to get attention for the things that are worthwhile. Otherwise, people won't know what's available for them to make a difference in their lives.
As we discussed earlier, one of your heroes is P.T. Barnum.
That's right. I wrote the only business book on P.T. Barnum. There's a customer born every minute.
And you're saying he never actually said there's a sucker born every minute?
No, there's no evidence that he ever said there's a sucker born every minute. There's more evidence that says one of his competitors said that. And Barnum, loving publicity, just let it be. He didn't correct it at all.
Interesting. And to the people who might look at this products and services you're offering and roll their eyes and say this guy is, you know, just trying to make a buck off of dumb people or suckers, you say what?
I say God bless them and God speak to them. I'm actually dealing with the people who want more information, who want help, and are willing to take action when it's shown to them.
I saw that you wrote about Barbara Ehrenreich's book on your blog. She and others, the critics of positive thinking, which I know is not a widely embraced term in some circles, but there are those who argue that positive thinking is a mass delusion. Mm-hmm. banking crisis we're in right now, mm-hmm. the exuberant optimism that we saw in the housing market, and also into the war in Iraq, which a lot of Americans think was a misadventure. Mm-hmm. What's your pushback against that argument?
Well, first of all, I agree with a lot of her book. I bought her book, read her book, and actually felt sorry for her because she wrote the book because she had cancer. And people said, just think positive, put on a smiley face. Well, I had been in the same place, and I realized that that's not enough, and that's also not what you want to hear. So she started to write this whole book to find out just how deep this positive thinking go and how bad is it. And I happen to agree that some of it is very misleading. And what people think is positive thinking is actually Pollyannish type thinking. They're believing in the possibility of some interaction or intervention that may or may not ever happen. And that they're believing in some optimism that they haven't weighed with critical thinking. So I say that the positive thinking I endorse is the kind that has objective reality weaving into it, and then you also have the steps of action.
Right. And there's been increased attention on all of this as a result of what's happened with James Gray.
That's right.
We talked a little bit about this before. Let me ask you about the law of attraction as it applies to this case. Do you think it's possible that James Ray did something in his life or was thinking in a way that might have created circumstances that allowed him to get into the trouble he's in right now?
You asked the question in a specific way, and you included, is it possible? So I'll say yes, it's absolutely possible that in his unconscious, he was thinking about things in a certain way and possibly set up some sort of self-sabotage. The whole thing makes me sick. I am very sorry for those people. I'm very sorry that this has happened at all, because this hurts all of us that are trying to make a difference. But as for what he was thinking, I don't know what he was thinking. I can only guess.
There are a lot of people who say now that this shows that this industry needs to be regulated by the government, that self-help gurus, for lack of a better term, are unlicensed psychologists and psychiatrists who are pushing sometimes vulnerable people too far. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
It definitely needs cleaned up. The self-help industry definitely has at least 1% bad apples in it, and those bad apples can ruin it for all the 99% that are trying to make a difference and truly help people. So whether it's regulation, whether there's some sort of watchdog group, I don't know exactly what it needs to be, but this is a call that we need to do something.
Are you doing seminars of this sort that James did? You know, sort of.
Well, he was doing the James was doing more of the daredevil seminars, walking on water, or walking on water.
Walking on hot coals.
Walking on hot coals, sweat lodges, and so forth. I've never done anything like that. My seminars have been more of the talky, informative, inspiring kind, and I have done them in the past. I'm currently not. I'm so internet-driven, I do teleseminars online, and of course, I'm an author, so I tell people, read my books.
Do you worry, it seems like you do, but do you worry that what's going on with James Gray is going to give all of you a bad name?
I worry that a lot of people who can get help from the self-help movement will not do it because of a James Ray incident. And that hurts them as well as the good people who are trying to make a difference in their lives.
What is the help that people get?
Most people, as Thoreau said, lead lives of quiet desperation. They're basically unhappy. They're unhappy with something that they're trying to achieve. They're unhappy with their place in life. They're unhappy with not knowing what their goal or their mission or their passion is, their life calling. And self-help can help them find that within themselves.
This is a sensitive question. We sort of touched on it a little bit. But on the James Ray case, three people died in that sweat lodge. Do you think they were thinking incorrectly? Were they on the wrong side of the law of attraction?
I have no idea what those people were thinking. I mean, it hurts to even imagine what was going on. Whether they were pushed, despite what they were thinking, I don't know.
But did they attract this into their lives?
On an unconscious level, we're attracting everything into our lives. But again, we're unconscious to it, so we can't blame ourselves for that. What we want to do is awaken to what's going on and be aware of those thoughts within us so that we can clean them up, correct them, and be more in a positive awakening.
But this sounds like a very sort of mysterious, murky process. We don't know how it works, do we?
Well, Carl Jung and Freud have been talking about it and writing about it for a century or more. So it is something that psychiatrists and psychologists have been working on and teaching us to do. And more scientists are looking into this. So I don't think it's the murky, dark waters that we can't go and investigate. There are people who are doing it and ways to do it. And we just want to make sure we're going with the people who know the road through the wilderness.
Right, but you can't say you think A and therefore B will happen. Right? It's not a testable hypothesis, is it?
Because it unconscious level, you don't typically know what's in your unconscious mind. You know what's in your conscious mind. Your conscious mind is like 10% of the iceberg. The 90% below that is the unconscious. So you can think all you want on something on a conscious level. You're going to attract money. You're going to attract the Rolls Royce experience. But in your unconscious mind, if you think, oh, I don't have the money for that. I don't deserve that. I don't believe that's going to help me. I don't believe that's going to work out. You veto your conscious thought.
But the term law of attraction makes it sound like it's an actual law, like the law of gravity. But it's not something you can prove scientifically, is it?
I haven't proved it yet, but I think scientists will prove it at some point.
But to talk about it like it is a proven hypothesis, that...
Well, I usually refer to it as a principle, but because the movie The Secret came out and they called it a law, I went with what the masses were calling it.
Right.
So I'm still calling it a law, too, but mostly so people understand what I'm talking about.
So they understand the reference point.
Yes.
Are there questions that I should have asked that I haven't asked yet? Was there something you were hoping to say that I haven't given you a chance to say?
Can I give out my website?
Always selling. Or offering.
Thank you very much. I'm offering. You didn't ask me anything about the homelessness.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about it in the car, but I think it's worth going over again. You didn't always live like this.
Oh, not even close. No, 37 years ago I was homeless. I had made a bad investment. I was young. I was hoping for something to work out. It didn't work out. The company I gave money to went bankrupt. The owner of the company committed suicide. Before you knew it, I was on the streets of Dallas. I had no friends. I had no family that I was in contact with. No car, no money, no job. And before you knew it, I was definitely, like many people who are homeless right now, wondering how did I get here and what to do about it. Now, in my particular case, because I've always been such a bookaholic, I would go to the library. I would read self-improvement books. I went to Dale Carnegie, Thinking, Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, Claude Bristol, The Magic of Thinking Big, The Magic of Believing, all of those books. That's the kind of stuff I fed my brain. And because I had nothing else to do, and it was hot in Dallas, it was air-conditioned in the library, and the books were free. That's where I began the reprogramming of my mind to start to go in a different direction. It was not overnight. Because everybody says, what's the one thing you did to go from homeless to multimillionaire, successful, all these books, and so forth? The one thing I did was everything. I read the books. I applied the books. I went and got other jobs. Sometimes I took one job and quit and got another job. Kept pursuing my goal of being an author. And I did it for 20-some years before the success started to click. But I was not an overnight success unless you think 27 and a half years is overnight.
And now you not only sell and write books and give books away, but you also have other things that you wrote that we're talking about some of them before. What is it? One of them is the Attract Miracles community. What is that?
Yes, the Attract Miracles community. That's at attractmiracles.com. There are 23 scientific studies that prove when groups of people get together and meditate, they hold a common intention, and sometimes it's just for peace, that the violence and the crime rate goes down in that area where they're meditating. At the same time, the abundance and prosperity in that area goes up. Once I heard about that, I thought, I just need to create an online community and get enough people to go there so that we can all hold the intention for peace on the planet, that we can make a difference on the whole globe if enough of us got together. And because I can't go to all the different places around the world and get these groups going, I thought, let's do it online. Let's get attractmiracles.com. We only need 8,165 people, I believe that's the number, to be there and to hold the thought of peace, according to the scientific studies, to bring peace now.
How many people do you have?
Probably 1,000.
And what do these people pay as part of it?
Right now it's $39 a month. But what I'm looking at is just eliminating that and letting it be free.
But that means it sounds like pretty good money because it's $400 a year per person, roughly $10,000.
That's right. And what they get in return is not just the support group of all being there to hold intentions for each other, but it's a database of my books, my audios, my videos, DVDs, all of that is there for them to have for that monthly membership.
What is the Wishmaker?
When I was in Russia, I was given a gift about Hoshun. And Hoshun, I was told, means I want. And it was a little doll that supposedly is blind. You draw an eye on one side of it, state whatever your intention is, and put the doll someplace so you can see it. And what it does is remind you of your intention. Now, of course, as it's reminding you, you're supposed to take action to make it come about. When your intention intervention comes about, draw in the other eye on Ho Shun, and it now has sight, and you now have your intention fulfilled. So I saw it as a psychological technique to keep you focused on your goal, and I and a partner came out with an English version of it in this country online.
How much will that run?
Oh, I don't know. I think $39.
Mm-hmm. And you also sell juice? Youth juice or something?
Oh, yeah, youth juice. That's right.
And Fit-A-Ritas?
Yes, Fit-A-Rita is something I invented.
So you've got a multi-purpose store going on.
Remember, one of the steps that attract money now is think like an entrepreneur. I start thinking like an entrepreneur, and there's products everywhere, and sometimes I wish I could turn off my brain because they just keep on coming.
But you know there will be, as I said to you before, there will be people on the other side of the camera who say, this guy's, you know, selling snake oil.
Well, if the stuff didn't work, it'd be snake oil. But the stuff works.
The Russian wishmaker, all the stuff works.
Well, what I'm telling you is the Russian wishmaker is a psychological tool to keep you focused on your intention. It works to do that.
So none of this stuff, you never wake up in the middle of the night thinking, I can't believe I'm getting away with this.
No, never. That's not the mindset, and that's not what I'm creating. I am doing my best to create products and services that make a difference in people's lives, charge a fair price for it, and then when I hear the wonderful stories of successes there, I feel good and want to do more.
The fact of the matter is, in your defense, you're setting the price people are paying for it. They see the value. I mean, you operate in a capitalist society. So, I mean,
that's exactly right.
As you said before, but the people can sneeze at the ride of the Rolls Royce, but there are people out there who are willing to pay for it, so we live in a free country.
Yeah, I'm just making it available.
Right, you're offering.
That's right.
Miguel, is there anything I should have asked that I didn't ask?
I'm just kind of thinking of stuff we might want to punctuate with the thing. You know, when I talk about James Ray, it was all kind of after the fact, right? The strategies happened. I'd like to know what Joe Whitman really said. Let me step up.
Yeah, he learned your book, right?
He did.
So were you friendly?
I met James Ray when we went on Larry King. And we had dinner with Larry King's group afterwards, and I sat one person away from him. And then I think I talked to him one time on the phone. So I don't really know him. We were never really personal friends. We know each other because we're in the self-help industry. And we've endorsed each other's materials. I did like his books. He's liked my books and endorsed it. And that's as far as it's gone.
Anything else? Well,
what did you think of his teachings?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me just tell you what I got to do.
Sure.
I keep dying my five out there. No. I'm used to it. I'm married.
The producer said that, not the first one. Just for anybody else.
Material that we're looking at, but the spiritual is on the inside. And so this reminds me, when I play with it, it's like a rosary, it's like prayer beads. It's a spiritual reminder to think of the deeper side of life. The second is, I think I look cool when I wear it.
I won't fight you on that. You look very cool. And, I'm sorry, what was it? Oh, yeah. When The Secret came out, what did that do for your business?
The Secret transformed my life and my business. I was already fairly well known as an internet marketer and a copywriter, and I had some successful business books out. I had written a couple spiritual self-help books, which caused me to get into the movie The Secret. But when the movie The Secret came out, suddenly a whole world of people that had never heard my name before or my work before suddenly knew me and liked me. For whatever reason, I'm one of the four or five people that seemed to stand out as memorable characters in the movie. And that, of course, got me on Larry King. That got me with Donnie Deutsch and a bunch of other TV shows, and even possibility of having my own TV show at one point. So it's elevated me on the radar in a way that was never there before.
One of the knocks on self-help is, all these books say, I'll help you
you would not need to buy more than one. You would only want to buy more than one because it made you feel good, or it reminded you of something, or maybe there was new information that wasn't in the previous book. That's the problem with most people who buy the self-help material, is that they don't apply it. This goes back to my mantra, you must take action, you must take action. The universe likes speed, money likes speed. You have an idea, act on it.
You know, I'm sure you've read Aaron Wright's book. I'm sure you're aware of books like Steve Salerno, who wrote a book called Sham.
Yeah.
You know, there are people out there who make very tough allegations against the whole self-help movement as being a scam. That it's all a scam. When you hear that, what do you think?
I think they haven't done enough research. There are enough scientific studies that show that 70% of the people who change on their own without going to a therapist or a coach or a psychiatrist have done it because of a self-help book or a self-help program. So I think if they do more research, they find out that, yes, there's a lot of bad out there, bad influence, manipulators, the people who are misleading people with their ideas of what can change their lives. But there's a lot of good that actually works. That's what we want to report on. That's what we should focus on. That's what we should develop and promote.
It seems to me like an underreported segment of American society. We're talking about an $11 billion a year industry.
That's right.
It's a huge phenomenon in America. But you don't hear, I mean, you hear it talked about, but it doesn't bubble up to the mainstream as often as you would think, given how prevalent it is.
I rarely hear it in the mainstream at all.
Yeah.
But self-help is huge, as you point out, and it's huge all over the planet. I mean, I've been in Russia and Poland and Peru and Bermuda, other countries I can't even remember, and the self-help movement is huge. I'm there because they saw the secret. They read my book. They want me over there. They want some of the other teachers over there. They're hungry for this information.
What is
it today?
Yeah. Sorry. My breakup?
Yeah. Just move it towards not pushing up. That's
better. What is the hunger that's driving this?
It goes back to Thoreau's quote, we all lead lives of quiet desperation. They're unhappy inside. They're looking for a way out. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for happiness.
The hunger for meaning and success is so deep in the human psyche that this industry is probably not going to go away.
No, I don't think the industry is going away at all. I don't think it should. I think it's helping people, and I think people are going to want to have more help. There's more people being born all the time that are coming into different circumstances that might need help along the way. They might want encouragement, support, coaching, whatever it happens to be. The self-help industry, the good part of that, is making a difference in a wide group of people.
But you're in a very powerful position. You are not only giving people advice about how to make money, but also about how to find meaning in their lives, how to find meaning in their relationship. That is a position of power that could, I would imagine, be abused.
It could be abused. You're absolutely right. But what I'm teaching is that the choice, the power, the passion, what you're looking for, is in you. So when people come and are looking at me, I turn it around so it's a mirror, and I ask them the questions to find out what the answers are within them. I don't tell them the answers. I ask the questions so that they can find the answers for themselves. That's a big difference than some leader standing up there saying, this is the way.
Right. And when you see it abused, it must make you upset.
It's sickening. It ruins it for everybody at that point. It ruins it for the good people in the self-help industry, and it ruins it for the people who are actually reaching for help.
You've been very patient again with my annoying history questions. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to sure. One thing we're going to do, Joe, just so I want to give you this opinion. You know, we are going to be talking a little bit about the piece, and obviously you weren't involved in it directly. World of Sedona. Are you familiar? You've been to Sedona?
Sedona, Arizona?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been there, yeah.
Okay. Do you know that it has a reputation as being this center for New Agey stuff? And
kind of, sort of.
Okay.
I don't really know.
You're not associated, don't feel strongly about Sedona.
Yeah.
We'll get some of those
pieces. Sedona University is not in Sedona?
It is now.
Oh,
it was in L.A. Yeah. Within the last year, 2 years, they moved there.
Yeah.
When I worked with them, they were still in L.A.
Or I'll make them out.
Yeah.
We can stay here all night, right?
Yeah. Sure. It was not ready for you.
Well, let me just put it this way. You know, this was something we're hearing. We've been interviewed a couple of people. Is that the secret was overblown a little bit exaggerated.
Mm.
And what people need to do is do the next. next thing, which is, you know, follow your book or take it. And the criticism is that it's a little bit dishonest because the secret needed to be kind of over the top to sell as much as it did. And also, the response basically constitutes another sales pitch. Right? The secret was incomplete, and you need to buy another thing. I mean, that is it's kind of a disguised sales pitch for the next thing. So there's no good to it. And that's one of the Salerno's big things.
Right. I mean, yeah, Steve Salerno, we interviewed, who wrote this book, Sham, his argument is it's always set up to sell you something else. That your business is set up to give you one book that says, this is the secret, this is all the answer to all of your questions, read this, and you're good. But then actually there's a follow-up later, or there's the real secret that's written by somebody else, or the secret explained, or secrets of the secret. So it never ends, and it's a non-stop sinkhole for the money of the gullible.
That's an interesting point of view. I think on one level there's probably some truth to that, but the self-help teachers that I've been aware of in the self-help industry, they're actually creating products that they think are the one time that they're going to do it. And when people buy that, they often say, can I have it in another form? Or can you give me answers to questions that weren't answered in this particular book or this particular movie, which causes them to write another one. I didn't set out to write 50 books, for example. I write one book, The Attractor Factor, which gets me into the movie The Secret, and people start writing, can you explain a little bit more about step four? Well, I thought I did in the book, but apparently I didn't well enough, which causes me to start taking notes. And then I write another book called The Key. The Key is a follow-up to it. People go and watch the movie The Secret, and they start writing to me, and they'll say, that doesn't explain this idea about sitting in the chair and a bike shows up. Tell me more about how this works. And I end up recording a program called The Missing Secret to help people with what wasn't in the book. But I didn't plan to do this. These are people saying, I have a question. And then I go, okay, I'll write it down or I'll record it and I'll offer it to you later, and if you want it, buy it.
So it never crosses your mind, you never think to yourself, I am, there are a lot of vulnerable, needy people out there and I'm giving them easy answers.
There are definitely...
Taking their money.
No, I don't think that at all because that's not what I'm doing. There are definitely vulnerable, needy people out there and I'm not offering them anything. The people who do want something and they might be broke, go read Attract Money Now. It's free at attractmoneynow.com.
And I think your line of work, I mean, it's well established that your line of work is quite different from what James Ray was doing.
That's right.
The argument with James Ray is, as I said before, this sort of unlicensed shrink thing, bringing people in to a very intense environment, pushing them beyond their preconceived limits. And sometimes things go wrong. That's not your business, per se. But that is a power game in your industry, a power dynamic, in your industry that some people say is worrisome.
I think it is worrisome. I would agree with you that there are a lot of people out there that are pushing people that don't need to be pushed at all. I would much prefer to inspire people. So if they hear a story about somebody who's accomplished something, and maybe it's me, when they think that, look at Joe now, he's got all these books and a nice Rolls Royce and such, but he was homeless at one point, it gives them the idea that maybe their life can change too. But it's not a pushing them to change anything. It's just dangling an inspiration out there, which they can take or not.
There is an interesting conclusion reached in that article that said those mean things about you. I wonder what you think of. Basically, the conclusion that this author, who's a skeptic, reached was people who read these books know if you read Secret, you're not going to be able to get everything you want through the power of your thoughts, per se. But it is inspirational. The argument at the core of it is, we are more powerful and better than we think we are. Mm-hmm. And we should wake up to the good in our lives and be grateful for it and act on our best impulses, et cetera, et cetera. That is what people actually really latch on to. Do you think there's anything there?
Yes. I think what they're latching on to is a good thing for them to latch on to. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. That's inspiring them to have that happier, different life that's meaningful to them. If they're buying the book and getting that message, I think they're getting their money's worth. If they spend $20... and walk away later after reading a book that gave them that feeling and that message, I think that book was, then that money was well spent.
I think we've probably tortured you enough. unless, again, if there's anything that you wish I asked but I didn't ask.
Narissa, is there anything that comes
Did you get paid for your appearance in The Secret?
Did you get paid for your money? Did you get paid any money for being in The Secret?
No, I never got a penny for being in The Secret, never got a penny for the book of The Secret, never got a penny for anything related to The Secret in any way, shape, or form.
But it paid off, I guess.
Oh, absolutely.
The residuals were probably.
Sure, but we didn't know that. When I was being filmed for The Secret, who knew what would become of that movie? Who knew that it would even make it as a movie? Who knew that it would end up on Oprah and Larry King and all these other shows? None of us knew that.
You were at Canfield's Retreat or whatever. What's the name of that group?
The Transformative Leadership Council.
So now I think of that as like a meeting of like all the like a super secret star chamber type thing. What is that?
Well, I've only recently become a member. I've only gone to one meeting, and I just did another one, which I didn't go to. So I don't think I've been in it long enough to really comment, outside to say that they're the most wonderful, heartfelt, loving people that I've ever been around. And yes, most of them are authors, speakers, teachers in the self-help circuit. Some of them were in the movie The Secret, but certainly not all of them. Good bunch of people.
So, is it, you know, what kind of things are you discussing when you're sitting around the table?
You know what? It's kind of a support group. We've all been on the road. We're kind of weary from traveling, speaking. People want your autograph. They're always asking for something from you. It's a safe place to go and be with people who understand that feeling. And we also share new insights, scientific discoveries, books we might be writing, things that we're up to, projects. Almost everybody's got a project of some sort that they're trying to make a difference in the world. I started Operation Yes, which is my movement to end homelessness. And I'll go to them and I'll say, I need help getting this out there in the world. So it's like a support group for the people going out there helping people with the self-help.
Excellent. Thank you for your patience.
Of course.
And your openness.